Hi, I'm Bubba Fairman.
Hi, this is Ashton Olt.
This is Brendan Curry.
Hi, guys. This is T.D. Irwin.
Hi, this is Michael Sowers.
Hi, this is Mac O'Keefe.
And you're listening to the D-Fly and Dixie Podcast.
To the D-Fly and Dixie Podcast.
It's on Inside Lacrosse.
Welcome back to another episode of the D-Fly and Dixie Podcast, featuring Big Ten Network and Inside Lacrosse analyst, and my Blue Jay brother, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, welcome back to another week. It was so refreshing to finally be talking about college lacrosse again and watching games. There's a lot of news this week. But first, I'd like to start by saying, on behalf of the D-Fly and Dixie podcast and of all of our friends at Inside Lacrosse, we'd like to offer our sincere condolences to the Blumenthal family. Dr. Roger Blumenthal, our guest on last week's podcast, his mother passed away on Wednesday, his mother, Anita Blumenthal. You and I reached out. Roger even mentioned that he had told his mother that he had been on the podcast. And it put a smile on her face. She was a big lacrosse fan, as you mentioned. And our sincere thoughts and prayers go out to the Blumenthal family at this time. And want you to know that we're thinking about you.
Yeah, really nice lady. Had the opportunity to meet her. And I also met Roger's father years ago, too. And huge lacrosse fans. I think Anita started attending Hopkins lacrosse games back in 1958. And super proud of Roger and all the work that he's done. And I know she was a really proud grandmother of Ross. So yes, our hearts go out to Dr. Blumenthal and his family.
Now let's get to these games from just last week. We're going to have an interview.
Wait a second. All right. So I know we got to switch gears from our expressing our condolences to Dr. Blumenthal, and that's a sad time, but can I just tell you how fired up I am? I mean, I am fired up. This is a great day when we're recording. We'll get to a lot of really positive news. But I mean, the introduction, the whip is back. You didn't have the whip last week, so that's back. We had a couple of games last week. It was fun to see that. Now we got, it's just been a heavy news week, real heavy news week here in the world of lacrosse. So I'm excited. I'm pumped. And can't wait to dive into this podcast with you.
Awesome, Dix. Let's start with the news of the week starting last Saturday. Later on in the podcast, we'll have a great interview with Coach Bill Tierney of the Denver Pioneers. His team opened the season. We were looking forward to seeing them, especially a very potent offense. And the Utah Utes had other thoughts about how that game might turn out.
Yeah, and that was a game where I think a lot of folks thought Denver was maybe going to hang 20 goals on Utah, playing at home, loaded lineup, a lot of potency on offense. And we're going to hear Coach Tierney gives a lot of credit to Brian Holman and his Utah squad. They came in energized and focused and gave Denver all they could handle, led for most of that game. And the Pioneers were able to pull that out at the end. No excuses for Denver. They were missing some players due to COVID situations, but still a great way to kick the season off and good to have lacrosse back. And, Denver is a team that we're talking about if there is an NCAA tournament, a potential championship weekend participant. So this is a Pioneer team that has a lot of hype, if that's the right word, but a lot of expectations in 2021.
And Coach T addresses some of that in his interview. The other game last weekend was Bellarmine, maybe a mild upset, beat Mercer 9-7.
Yeah, Bellarmine came into the game, off of a 2-6 season, and they come into Mercer, similar situation that Denver was. Mercer's at home and favorite 6-1 when the season was halted last year, but and that's a nice win for the Knights and their head coach, Andrew Whitley, in his second year at the helm of Bellarmine. So again, and competitive games, both of them, a one-goal game, a two-goal game. Good entertainment for lacrosse fans and a good way to kick off the new season.
So this weekend is a weekend that lacrosse fans have been looking forward to for a long time. And this week, a lot of information came out that also we have been waiting for. A lot of it on scheduling and a lot of other positive information. But we start with Yale, just a few years removed from their national championship season. A lot of expectations on how good they could be this year has said that they're not going to play this season no matter what the Ivy League does. A lot of the decision came down to the school had an enrollment deadline and they just did not have enough players to field a roster based on the number of student athletes who were going to participate and be fully enrolled this semester. Still no word from the Ivy League on what's going to happen, but some encouraging news this afternoon. The Penn Quakers are back. All their sports are back. Their winter and spring sports, and the lacrosse team is out practicing. They started on Wednesday with some on-field practice, and that is an encouraging sign coming out of an Ivy League school.
It's great. The Yale news, absolutely gross. You're talking about the national champions in 2018 and national runners-up in 2019. You know, that's the equivalent of Clemson not playing football. I don't want to take it too far, but Alabama not playing football, the SEC not having a plan, the ACC not having a plan for football. That's just it's horrible. And what made, you know, to add insult to injury, the statement that was released by the school saying players are opting out. Well, they're opting out because there's no plan. The only thing that we knew about the Ivy Leagues was they weren't going to start before March 1st. Okay, great. That's a long runway that they established back 8 weeks ago, 12 weeks ago. I mean, it's been a while since we heard that March 1st date. So incredibly disappointed for those Yale student athletes. Great news on the Penn front. I'm encouraged by that. I worry about schools like Princeton, Harvard, putting a plan in place. You know, you feel better about a Penn with the news that you received. You feel better about a Cornell that allowed their fifth years to come back and play without a lot of hassle, seemingly. So we'll see what happens with the Ivies. But that was really crummy news that we got this week about the Eli.
Also earlier this week, some more positive news is the ASUN, the Atlantic Sun Conference, applied for 2022 NCAA tournament automatic qualifier status with targets on the non-conference independents, Utah, Cleveland State, Robert Morris, joining as affiliate teams. There are two ASUN full conference teams, Bellarmine and Jacksonville, and they would join those two schools to form the core and eliminate, for the most part, all independent schools, which is great for the sport.
It is. The automatic qualifier has become an incredible recruiting tool. When you can go to a young lacrosse player and say, I guarantee you that we are going to fight for a spot every year in the NCAA tournament via that automatic qualifier, via the conference affiliation. That's a huge selling point. You talked about Utah earlier. You know, that's a team that's unaffiliated right now and no conference. So if there is an NCAA tournament this year, they would have to play their way in as an independent. When you already have most of the spots, the at-large berths taken up by the ACC, by the Big Ten, Patriot, Ivy, you know, Ivy's obviously probably a non-discussion point at this juncture, but the Patriot oftentimes has multiple entrants into, you know, the Big East. I mean, you know, the Colonial. I'm just talking about conferences. You know, typically the ACC, Big Ten cannibalize most of the at-large spots, and then the others are taken by those conferences I just mentioned. So being able to have an AQ and then play a situation where build it up to the point where you might be talking about multiple bids, that's a huge positive for the sport. And I'm all for it and was really encouraged by that news.
I was hopeful that this could be the week when we see a lot of schedule releases. On Wednesday, some information began to trickle out. Virginia, Fairfield, Cleveland State all released schedules on Wednesday. And then Thursday was a day that an onslaught of information came out. We found out from LSN, their broadcast schedule of CAA games for the most part, a full slate of opportunities to watch college lacrosse. And then in the afternoon, the Big Ten released their schedule for the first half of the season. An interesting take to only release half the season, but it makes a lot of sense. And it was great to see those games starting around Robin that will start on February 20th.
Yes, and all great news that you just mentioned. I think it was when Virginia's schedule came out, you didn't have Maryland on it. You didn't have Johns Hopkins. I think it really sunk into people who were holding out hope that the Big Ten was going to play some out-of-conference competition, at least in the months of February and March. That was put the rest. And then you see the actual Big Ten schedule come out, on Thursday, right around lunchtime. And again, it's I know a lot of people are banging on the conference for playing conference only, but at least they have a plan. At least these kids are going to get to play. You want to go pick on someone, pick on the Ivy League. Go ahead, take your shots, dump on those guys. They don't have a plan. Big Ten has a plan. People are encouraged. They're emboldened, excited about this potential for each team to play each other twice, potentially three times. If you face each other in the Big Ten tournament, but to your point, a cautious approach by the Big Ten, release the first 5 weeks of the season, see where things are with testing, with protocols, with COVID, all that kind of stuff. Again, we're going to talk about this throughout the season. There will be postponements. There will be cancellations. There will be tough spots. As we're speaking, we learned of news this week about Johns Hopkins shutting down for classes and all activities, including lacrosse, for a couple of days to try to get to the bottom of a potential COVID outbreak. So, there's a lot of moving parts to this thing, but man, was it good to see that Big Ten schedule. A lot of positives on there, and hats off to Lat Sports Network. They've done a great job with the Colonial over the years, and they look like they've got a terrific slate of games in 2021 too.
And while the Big Ten left the door open for schedule changes in the second half of the season, they did release information about their conference tournament. Mm-hmm. It'll be May 1st through May 8th. It'll be at Penn State, at least the semifinals and finals, on May 6th and May 8th. And all six teams will make it. The number one and number two seeds will have byes, and the other four teams will play a preliminary game to seed the semifinals. So it's great to know that the Big Ten will be starting on February 20th, and hopefully our Blue Jays will be playing. But I know that there are at least some games this weekend, three that will be televised of a seven-game slate. I can't wait. One man in particular who will be at the centerpiece of the lacrosse world this weekend is Denver head coach Bill Tierney. We're delighted to have him as our guest this week. Dix, it's impossible to overstate this man's impact on the sport of lacrosse. In my opinion, I think you agree with me, he's the greatest college coach ever. His seven titles, 15 Final Four appearances. He's the only coach that has ever won a championship at two different schools. That is all on his resume. He's also the president of the IMLCA, the Coaches Association. He's been influential in the lacrosse event business. He's been an ally of Inside Lacrosse. He's the guy who got it. He understood how important it was to market and give exposure to the sports. He was when he was the coach at Princeton, he was an early proponent of those big city classic, face-off classic type of events. And when he became the coach at Denver, he said, we need to do something out west to help with the sport. And we started the Mile High Classic. He gets it. And we couldn't be happier to have him as our guest today. So let's welcome in Coach Bill Tierney. Coach T, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be on. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Mark.
Always a pleasure to have you with us, Coach. And you had it's always a privilege to go on the lacrosse field, but especially after last year's pandemic and then it's still lingering into 2021, you were one of four teams that were able to kick off the college lacrosse season last weekend against Utah in Peter Barton Stadium. What was that experience like we've known each other for years. And we've talked in this venue many a time, but the preparation probably had to be different. No fans. What was the vibe leading up to and then throughout the game? And then, of course, after the game, what were your thoughts and then some of the kids?
Well, first of all, just like everything else in the 2020/2021 era, it was more like an onside kick than or a pooch kick or something than a kickoff. But, there were so many things, Mark. You know, a lot of the interviews I did, I talked a lot about, you know, it being somewhat of a revival and a selfish one at that. Because, you know, you get to be almost 70 years old and you start to think maybe you've done enough of this stuff. And then all of a sudden, somebody throws a worldwide pandemic at you. And from the more narrow scope, takes your team away and takes your lifeblood away and go for 11 months. And, you know, wow, it's you realize that it's, you're not ready to retire yet. And you're, it's exciting and it's what makes you tick. You know, I stink at golf. I'm not interested in playing cards or bingo. And just a real blessing, to be honest with you. With all the madness, half our team had to sit in the stands. There was no fans there. We had to move our sideline to the other side. You know, it just was a whole different experience. And first of all, I should start this with credit to Brian Holman and the Utah team. They were competitive, excited, gentlemen. It was clean. It was. I just give those guys so much credit for everything they did to make it as good as it was. And you know, Nico, our SID, and you know, we do a professional production here. I know people complaining about $10, but you know, it's for three games, and that, you know, $3.33 a game. I'm sure that you know, the people that complained about it could afford it, but it's always a quality production that Tyler Maughan does, and it just there's so many people to think about and thank. Matt Brown, you know, I mean, this guy. What him and John Gallant, my other assistant, and Eric Adamson have done. We don't have an equipment guy anymore. You know, we're doing our own laundry. We're packing our own bags. We're all this stuff. We're writing out our own protocols. Josie White, our trainer, has just been phenomenal. Our university, our athletic administrators, our head trainer, Julie Campbell, our head strength coach, Matt Shaw, and our strength coach, Tim Murray, who's been lights out for our program, practicing in two cohorts, half the team here, half the team there. We're out on the field for 5 hours a day with two groups. And, you know, it's been crazy. On the other hand, it's wonderful. You know, I mean, your kids are playing lacrosse. And on March 12th, we would have given anything for all those things that I just listed as being roadblocks or headaches or barriers or, you know, or this stinks, you know, forget all that. We played lacrosse last weekend and it was wonderful.
You mentioned the cohorts, Coach, two cohorts for practice that equate to about five and a half hours a day. Can you elaborate on what that means?
So what the way it is, you know, there's lots of things. The University of Denver has done a phenomenal job. We're under 1% at this point. You know, we test everybody at least twice a week. Even our normal students get tested once a week. We have all these protocols that we have to follow depending on where we're going. Like the ACC one this week is different from the ours, which is different from the Big East, whatever. So. One of the rules, we are governed by the state of Colorado, we're governed by the city of Denver because we're in their confines, and we're governed by our university's guidelines. And so we've got to figure that all out. With that, again, going back to Julie Campbell, our head trainer, you know, and working with the city, we're allowed 50 people on the field in practices. So with 66 players, four coaches, a trainer, a strength coach, a manager, you know, you just can't put everybody out there. And I think our freshmen and our players that maybe don't make the travel squad or whatever, they earn the right to be coached just like Ethan Walker does, you know? And so, look, if you know, I've always said it, I hate game days. I love practice days. This doesn't bother me one bit. So we go out there each day, we alternate which cohort is first and which one is second. But when you break it up in houses and then you break it up with classes, and then you break it up by who's got to play together. We had to break our locker room into four cohorts because of social distancing, contact tracing, I'm sorry. And so we have to dress. When the first group comes a half hour early, they dress, they get off, they get out. The next group comes 15 minutes later, they dress. Now they both start at 2:30. We go to 4:30. The second group starts to dress, you know, in one cohort. Next 15 minutes, another. They start practice on another field to get their stick work in. They come out from 4:30 to 6. And so our team has never been together. Never been together on a field at the same time. And that is not an excuse. We've gained so many positive things for us. Our freshmen have had so much more coaching, so much more individual attention, so much more drill work, so much more shooting, so much more footwork. Our goalies are getting so many more shots than we would normally, because you get to this time of the season, if you got 50 guys, the guys that aren't going on travel squad or the freshmen, they're kind of like cannon fodder. You just throw them in, get their brains beat in, and then you hope they learn from it. So, you know, one thing I learned from Carlton Creech, who's our athletic director, is a phenomenal man. He's been positive from day one. Sometimes I tell him, I don't know how you can be this positive with all the things you're dealing with, 17 varsity sports, and, you know, some coaches who are up and down with all this stuff, some kids who are up and down with all this stuff, and he's done an amazing job. And so under his leadership, we have tried to stay. You know me, Mark and Dan. I'm not Mr. Happy-go-lucky all the time. I mean, most of the time I am, but not all the time. And so it's been a challenge. But through all of this, and it's the same as what I said before, through all of it, the kids are just, they're locked up in their rooms for our winter. We are a trimester school, so our winter quarter is 10 weeks. Our spring quarter is 10 weeks. They're basically locked in quarantine. They can't go to another person's house. They can't go to restaurants. They can get delivery from Chipotle. They can go to the student center, but they have to, you know, we wear masks in practice all the time. So it's just, it's different. And, I keep telling them I may not be around, but 20 years from now, you're going to look back at 2021 and say, I survived that. And when you think deeply about this thing, you think of what we went through this summer with the racial injustice, what we've gone through with COVID, with 450,000 people dying, what we've gone through, and I'm not a political guy, but what we've gone through 2 weeks ago with the Capitol. You know, you think about it, we're okay. This is lacrosse. As I always say, we're the pimple on the butt of an elephant when it comes to all of this stuff. And anytime we can get out on this field with this great group of young men, we're thrilled to do it.
How are you building that chemistry? You have a huge roster. You have seniors back for fifth years, grad transfers, new freshmen, and you can't really get together. The kids can't get together. But you know that's a foundation of any successful team is having that chemistry. So what kind of, what can you do, or what can any coach do to try to build some unity and chemistry on their team?
That's a great question, Dan. And I'm thankful that our seniors and eight of our 12 fifth year guys have been through, who know our culture. I'm thankful that the two kids that came from Yale have come from a coach, from someone, a program run by Coach Shea. I'm thankful for two other kids who have come from Loyola that they've been run through a program, by Coach Toomey. These are not guys that run half-assed programs. These are men that I admire. And when we took those guys, we knew that there would not be any issues when it came to, just fitting in seamlessly. And it's gone that way. These guys, these four kids have just been phenomenal. So in answer to your question, who might get hurt by all this are the 18-year-olds, the freshmen, right? They don't know. They don't know our culture. Now, we've recruited them. We've been with them for a couple of years. They know that playing for Bill Tierney is not, a walk in the park. They know it's not happy days singing and dancing every day. But what they know is that we have a very special thing going on here, win or lose. And we could lose 25-2 both games this weekend. But win or lose, the young men wanted to be a part of this and know what it takes. What has happened, it's been really interesting, Dan, and I'm glad you asked the question, is we've had two negative things have happened since September. And one was six or seven of our freshmen broke cohort. And, you know, they're 18 years old. They went to a party with 18-year-old women, and 17 of them got COVID. That was a big smack in the face because, number one, they realized how serious this thing is. But number two, when they were in quarantine, our seniors, our graduate students got them on a Zoom call and they reamed them and they explained what our culture is all about. And they talked about giving up their fifth year where they could be on Wall Street working, they could be playing pro lacrosse, they could be with their families. And they gave that up to play this game one more time. And so that, as bad as that was at the time, and we had some explaining to do, our freshmen, they won't make a peep without asking permission now. And now they've learned that it's the bigger picture. It's being a pioneer. It's being a part of a team. And not just ours, all these great programs, we're going to play two of the greatest programs in the country this weekend, both with great cultures, both with great coaches, both with great young men. And so this isn't just the Denver Pioneers. This is what all young men are going through right now, and young women, by the way. And then the second one happened last week or 2 weeks ago now, where one of our older guys broke cohort, went to another house, and watched the fight on TV Saturday night. Totally, totally innocent. Well, we get tested last week on Thursday. Six guys are out, three starters, because of contact tracing. Nobody has, only the one kid had a positive test. The rest were just contact traced. They're all fine now. Those guys are fine now. But the three that live with them can't travel. So we get one of those six guys back for this weekend. That is a real lesson to be learned, because even though these guys were older, this virus, you can't see it. You don't know where it's lurking. And so you can't travel. If you were walking into a neighborhood where you might have some problems, you'd travel in a group. You travel in a group against this one, you're just getting more people sick, And so I give everybody around here so much credit, and we've made a couple of slips, as every team has, I'm sure. And we're paying for it. But at the end of the day, the culture gets reinforced that this is not about me. This is about us. And if you really, really care about us, you'll take care of me.
Let's spin it forward, Coach. You've got a wicked road trip coming up. And, that could be wicked for all the protocols that you have to put in place and follow and establish with your players. But you're also facing two well-known foes to Denver lacrosse, Duke University and then North Carolina. You've got a game under your belt with Utah. How much does that help you move into this doubleheader? Friday, Sunday, I think, is the rhythm for you guys heading east.
I'll tell you on Sunday night. all coaches always say you get better from game one to game two. We'll find out. But we're about to play on Friday which could take over from the Syracuse 1990 team as the greatest team to ever play the game. We'll see. We're not gonna cower. We're not gonna not show up. We're gonna be there with who's ever healthy and who's ever ready to play. And we're gonna go out on that field and we're gonna play hard. I can promise you that. As we go back into why are we playing these two teams this weekend? Number one, because our head coach is a moron. But number two, I went and I asked our top eight players. I got them on a Zoom call a long time ago, maybe a month ago. I said, here's our choices. We can play Duke. We can play North Carolina, because both their normal dates were wiped out by the Big East home and home schedule, which I'm thrilled about. We can play neither, or we can play both. And look, you guys are athletes. You say that to Danny Logan, Jackson Morrill, you know, there's no, I knew what they were going to say, you know, and those teams are, these two teams are phenomenal. The kids want to play lacrosse. They want to play games. As a coach, I want to see what we're going to be like. I mean, John Vanowski, who's the greatest coach in the game, is loses games to people in February, you know, in the past, and then wins national championships the same year. Like, I'm not saying these games are really important. And if we can pull one or two out, that's unbelievable. And that'll lock us into the NCAA tournament if we have a half good year. But these games are more importantly measuring our young man, measuring our coaching staff, measuring our opponents to see how we can get better as we move into the rest of the season.
You mentioned Coach Donowski being the greatest coach in college lacrosse. I think a lot of folks would say you, Coach Tierney, might fit that mold or do fit that mold. We've talked throughout the years, and you've always broken your season into thirds, the out-of-conference schedule, the conference schedule, NCAA tournament. Obviously, COVID has thrown a wrench into perhaps that matrix. How has that affected you and your approach to coaching this Denver Pioneer team?
Well, I think interestingly enough, it's actually added a component, and that's because of the Big East's great reaction to our coaches' recommendations. It's added a component of this round robin Big East thing, because you play everybody twice, you'll play some of them three times, and maybe four if you're lucky enough to have two get in a tournament. But you know, I think it's just really been when we throw in what we talked about before, the cohort thing, it's just everything's different. Everything's different. We coach differently. We approach differently. We don't have as much time as we used to have to enjoy each other in the office, because, you know, all coaches work hard, but come on, we're not laying bricks. We're not putting down asphalt. All right. We're not building roads. We're coaches and we love that. But, you know, a lot of this is enjoyable as well. So, going back a little bit to your first question, I do remember, though, that when that game started last week, it was back to the madness. It could have been our third game in a week. And we were, our kids were not playing well, and Utah was taking it to us, and I was yelling and screaming, and, you know, and so it got back to normal very quickly. So no matter how we break down the season, what we're hoping for, and you mentioned earlier, this president of the IMLCA thing, is I've got to look at it that way too. Like, what we're hoping for is a successful, healthy season. It's going to be cut short. It's going to be, there's going to be cancellations. There may not be an NCAA tournament. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know is we're blessed to be playing a game this weekend, because both teams have tested negative and we're on our way tomorrow morning.
Coach, if all things go as planned, you will have played three games by the end of the weekend, and there's still a lot of schools that haven't even been able to release a schedule or make plans to when they're going to start. In that role as president of the IMLCA, is it a wait and see game, or are there some things that Coaches Association can do to lobby school administrations? What can you tell us more about that?
Well, first of all, as a president of a group, I'm totally disappointed in certain groups taking away another season for young men without even trying. I get it. I was a part of the Ivy League for 22 years. I think it's an amazing league with academics first, clearly. But I also believe that young people, young women and young men, part of their education is their athletics. And it's an important part of the reputation of these schools, as great as they are, comes from being able to play. So with that in mind, with the racial injustice that we're facing, with the the fact that we've got so many schools under our umbrella, Division III, Division II, club programs. Now we're starting to bring in high school programs into our group and high school club programs. We're trying to be not the Intercollegiate Men's Lacrosse Association. We're trying to be the Lacrosse Association, not conflicted with U.S. lacrosse at all. In fact, our relationship with U.S. lacrosse is better than it's been in 15 years right now under the leadership of J.B. Clark. And so we're trying our best to, well, we've expanded. This is a real business now, you know, they're doing good things now. And, you know, there's just so many things that you continue to see out. We have been somewhat instrumental and we're very hopeful for an opportunity for our independent teams to be in conferences, and that's hopefully soon to come to fruition. But there's so many things that this group can do, work hand in hand with the IWLCA, and making sure that when you see things on the internet that, you know, put lacrosse in this one general category, you realize your work's not done yet, and that you've got to continue. We've got to all continue to fight this fight for this sport. And be careful, by the way, that the internal parts of this sport don't divide the sport in general. You know, when we talk about Olympics and world lacrosse and, you know, the Iroquois national team not being allowed, and then the Irish team giving them their spot. There's a lot of good in our game. There's a lot of good for the Professional Black Players Alliance and all that group. But we've got a long, long way to go. And I just hope that I'm able to throw my two cents in from more of a historical perspective to help the game not take a giant step backwards as we start to become bigger. Because corporations become bigger, they become fragmented, and we've got to make sure we stay together and all this stuff. So one of my goals in this thing is, honestly, is to get coaches to treat each other better and understand that, yes, this 16-year-old that we think is going to make or break our career will be forgetting about you as a 21-year-old, or at least moving on in his life, even though you've become such a close mentor, and I'm blessed to have some of those guys that I've coached be still close friends. But the guys are going to be around for 10, 20, 30, 40, and in some cases, close to 50 years are the other coaches. And you hope that we can pull that together as well.
Coach, I don't know if there's any way you can have Dan treat me a little bit better because he's tough.
I'm sure he whips you every day.
Just you got to earn it, Dixie.
Just kidding.
You had it a little tougher when you were playing college lacrosse with a couple of coaches you had whipping you.
That is true. That is true. Coach, we really appreciate your time stopping to spend a few minutes with us. Safe travels to the Carolinas this weekend, or to North Carolina this weekend, to take on Duke and the Tar Heels. And we really look forward to watching the Pioneers play in 2021 and talking to you down the road.
Hopefully, I appreciate it, Mark and Dan. And hopefully we come out of the gates a little quicker than we did last week. Otherwise, it could be a couple of long afternoons. But our kids are excited. And again, it's such an honor to play Duke, play North Carolina. They both came here last year. And so, you know, even though we're 2,000 miles away from there, these are our kindred guys. These are the guys that we've got to play with, be great. You know, professionals with and try to beat if you want to get to that thing at the end. But we also know in this crazy year that everybody's doing what they can to keep the spirit up, get these kids. The most important thing is get these kids to play the game they love, and hopefully everybody stays healthy, as you mentioned.
Thanks so much, Coach. Best of luck to you this season.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it.
Good luck. Dix, always great to talk to the GOAT, Bill Tierney. A lot of great stuff in that interview, not only about how his team is dealing with all the COVID protocols, balancing a huge roster from, you know, fifth years and some transfers, a huge freshman class, how he has to separate those practices out, but how also he's just so grateful and his team's so happy that they're just able to play the game that they care so much about. Goes back to some of the things we said earlier in the podcast about, you know, the opportunity for kids to play is so important, and to miss two seasons is just a shame. So we hope that that isn't the case, but always good to talk to him.
No question. No question.
All right, let's get on to the week ahead, Dix. And I'm so excited about this game. Little Friday afternoon matinee. Number 5 Denver travels to Tobacco Road to play the number 1 Duke Blue Devils at 3 o'clock, and everyone is excited to see the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, ACC Network. I think Anish and Quint kick things off, and I mean, this is the Duke team that you heard Coach Tierney in our interview with him. He compared them to the 1990 Syracuse team that had the Gate brothers and Pat McCabe and Matt Palem.
Tom Marichek,
who else was on? I mean, gosh, that team, Burns, the attackman Burns was at, I mean, that is just that was a loaded group, and this is a loaded group. And what's really interesting is Duke seems to be number 1 in every preseason publication, but they're second in the ACC preseason poll. Syracuse is number 1 in the ACC preseason poll, which, I mean, the Orange have a terrific team as well, but chemistry is what I'm interested in with this Duke team. You add Michael Sowers, you've got the freshman Brennan O'Neill, who's reportedly going to be running out of the box, taking advantage of a short stick matchup. But I mean, you look at everything that returns for the Blue Devils, you know, Owen Caputo, Nakai Montgomery, Manown is back, Robertson, I can't even, you know, Mike Adler is a new addition in the goal, transfer from St. Joseph's. So this is a Duke team that's, you know, Dyson Williams. I don't have anything in front of me right now, but I'm just rattling these names off. And that is a talented group. A lot of people already have them penciled in for championship weekend, should it occur. And they're taking on a Denver team that, you know, okay, they won 9-8 at home against Utah. They're missing some starters, but they're trying to manage a huge roster, transfers, new faces, cohesion, all that other kind of thing. So Duke Denver, wow. Well, that's a Titanic matchup to kick the weekend off.
Saturday features 4 more games, in my opinion, highlighted by Towson at number 6 Virginia. Really excited to see that game. Utah at Bellarmine. Utes really came and played surprised people last week. Air Force at Notre Dame, Lenoir Ryan at Mercer, and then the Tigers will play the Cavs. Any of those games jump out at you, or anything you can't wait to see?
Yeah, you know, Lenoir Ryan, that's a Division II team. They were 6-1 last year when the season was halted. They had beaten Adelphi and Limestone. So that's a team that, so if you think about Division II, it's always the regional champion. You know, it's South versus North. And in the South, it's been Limestone for the longest time. That's been the dominant team. But, you know, Lenoir Ryan is right there. They're knocking on the door. So, you know, they're going to take on a Mercer team that lost to Bellarmine last week. But, you know, you're right. That UVA-Towson game has me the most intrigued. Towson, what a job Sean Nadel has done with that program. But they were 0-6 when the 2020 season was stopped. And I think they've got a chip on their shoulder. They feel like they have a lot to prove. If you look at the preseason Colonial Athletic Association, a conference that the Tigers have dominated for the last decade, they're third, fourth in that CAA poll behind UMass and Delaware for the most part. And then they're taking on the still reigning NCAA champions, I guess, from 2019, the Virginia Cavaliers, who lost 2 games last year when the season was stopped. They were 4-2. They had lost to Princeton. They lost to Brown. That's a team that, I mean, Docs Aiken is back. How fresh will he be? Because he just – I don't even know if he's practiced yet, quite honestly, because I know I think he got cleared or made the intention to come back to Virginia. Then he had to quarantine for a bit. Then he starts practicing. So I'm not sure what that timetable looks like. They still have so much talent. You know, Jared Connors at the long stick midfield position, and Matt Moore at attack, I think, is as underrated as anybody in the game. So I'm looking forward to that UVA Towson game. That's another ACC network game, correct?
Yes, that will be on. That'll be televised as well.
Gotcha.
And then Sunday, Dix, there's two games. Number 5 Denver stays down in North Carolina. They'll travel over to play the Tar Heels in the morning. That game will also be televised on the ACC network. And then Robert Morris plays Duke at 1:00.
So again, Denver Road Warriors, second game in 48 hours, and Duke as well, but they get home cooking. You know, Carolina, a team that was 7-0, undefeated when the pandemic took hold of us all last March. So interested to see Justin Anderson, Tanner Cook. You know, really, I think it is Chris Gray, who arguably could be a Tuoriton finalist or even the Tuoriton winner for that Tar Heel program. So really, that's going to be that should be a great matchup. And then, you know, Duke, Robert Morris, we'll see what Duke is made of to an extent on Friday, but they take things on a Robert Morris team that they beat High Point and Marquette last year. And they had won 3 in a row. They were 4-2 when the season was stopped. Bobby Moe has been to the NCAA tournament, I think, 2 out of the last 3 years. They've won the Northeast Conference. So that's a team that has an upward trajectory, and it'll be interesting to see how they fare against a loaded Duke squad. Bill Tierney said it to us. Duke typically loses games in February in the past. Is there an L in the future this weekend for Duke against the Pioneers and then the Colonials, right?
Definitely an exciting weekend on tap, and I can't wait to watch these games. And I know you can't. You're looking forward to them as well. All right, Dix, on to our first give and go of the season. This give and go is presented by Pete's Grill.
Oh, Pete's Grill. It is a Baltimore/Hopkins institution, a landmark, right?
It is. Yeah, an icon in the Homewood Green Mounts neighborhood there, Charles Village. And they're struggling a little bit. They've got a GoFundMe. They can only take, I think, 8 people at a time in the restaurant. So if you can get food to go, if you're a Hopkins fan or you're in the neighborhood or Hopkins student or staff member and you listen to this, go support Pete's Grill. You know, order some lunch to go, breakfast to go, get some sandwiches or something. Or if you're just an alum and you want to support them from wherever you are, you can hit them on their GoFundMe, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Dix. The give and go question this week, presented by Pete's Grill, is what are you watching on Netflix? What are you streaming? You know, you've been home for a long time, haven't had much lacrosse to watch. So what are you watching at the Dixon household?
So there's 3 layers to my television watching. There are things I watch with my wife, things I'll watch with my kids, and then things I watch on my own. Do you have that luxury at your house, or
I have the
my
same.
Kids are older, so
yeah, no. So I rule out the things with my kids. That's family time, but it's really what they want to watch. Like, there's not a lot of common ground. It's usually right. Something animated or Disney or something that
you got a lot of Dora, a lot of.
No, we don't watch that stuff. They like watching movies, but it's the repetition. Like, I can't tell you how many times The Incredibles 2 has played in my house over the last.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that yeah.
To the point where I don't even pay attention.
When my kids were growing up, it was Shark Tale, The Shreks, Monsters, Inc. I mean, they were like on repeat.
You know? Yeah, we watch all that. But my point is, I'm with you. There's the stuff I watch with my wife. There's the stuff I watch by myself. But the stuff I watch with my children are, that doesn't count because there's nothing, I can't watch anything good with them. Let's put
Understood.
It that way.
Right.
So yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
So, okay, on those layers, first of all, hands down, greatest show, Cobra Kai. Just watched season 3 of Cobra Kai with my younger son, Owen, and that was awesome. Cobra Kai, highly recommended. I see you shaking your head.
It's at the top of my list, and I have been watching it just as recently as last night. I was watching some Cobra.
Where are you in the?
I'm on season two. I had a little. There was a problem. Just a lot. You know what's great about this show? If you haven't seen it, it's the Karate Kid remake. Where it's not a remake. It catches up to the Karate Kid movies and Johnny Lawrence, like, and Daniel LaRusso, like today.
As 35 grown-ups, years later.
Yeah, and the episodes are only between like 25 and 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you can
quick and dirty.
Yeah, you can get through them pretty quickly. In fact, sometimes, you know, you can't even believe they go from that transition of like putting the Cobra Kai logo over the front of the show, like after a 3-minute intro, and then it hits like the shield at the end, and you can't believe the episode's over already. Like, how did that happen so fast? But there was a problem with my Netflix, like loading the next episode streaming last night. So it wouldn't play certain episodes, and I'd skipped ahead one, and I didn't realize it. So I had to watch something else last night.
Okay.
But that show is tremendous, man. What's your favorite part?
Okay, good. I'm glad you're on the same page.
What is your favorite part of that show?
Johnny Lawrence. Johnny Lawrence is hands down the best part of that show.
So great.
I mean, he is the greatest. I mean, that guy deserves an Emmy, a Golden Globe, an Academy, whatever it is. He's fantastic.
He is so good.
You're only into, I can't.
Yeah, I'm only spoil it for halfway you, so. Through what yeah. is out there. I've seen.
But Johnny Lawrence remains a constant. He's just stellar. So Cobra Kai, absolutely.
Yeah.
With my wife, we just got finished watching The Crown.
Okay.
It was okay. It was slow. And there's 4 seasons of that.
First 2 seasons are good.
I thought season 1 was good. I thought season 2 was a bore. Have you watched all 4 seasons?
I lost me in season 3.
All right. So 4 was good because that was Margaret Thatcher. And I thought Thatcher was an interesting character. But the sad part about this is I'm so conditioned on Narcos and like Ozark that when Churchill leaves a meeting with the Queen, I'm expecting heads to roll. I'm expecting him to put a hit out on somebody in Parliament. And you know, they're the British. So it's refined. So that doesn't happen. But I enjoyed John Lithgow as Churchill. I thought he was fabulous. I liked the young queen, you know, seasons 1 and 2, because season 3, there's a different actress as the queen aged playing the queen, but it was okay. My wife loved it. She loved the fashion. She loved the scenery, you know, the etiquette, all that stuff. She loved it. We are now watching a show called The Last Kingdom. We're only about 2 or 3 episodes into that, but it seems pretty good. Another show I watched with my wife. It's not a Netflix, but it's on HBO. It's called Succession. That's an outstanding show. Brian Cox is the lead actor in that. It's an outstanding show. 2 seasons of that. 3rd season hasn't been filmed yet because of the pandemic, but that's on HBO. But the show I watched, D-Fly, the show I'm going to tell you is absolutely fantastic that I watched over the holidays, is a show called Kingdom. And that has an actor named Frank Grillo in it. And Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is in it as well. It is intense. It is, in a nutshell, man, it's MMA fighting, sex, and drugs. Those 3 things dominate that show. But let me tell you, the character development, the plot line, the intensity, it's outstanding. Jay Kulina, an actor named Jonathan Tucker played Jay Kulina, is off the charts. So Kingdom, man, 40 episodes. Kingdom, unbelievable show. I'll tell you a show, just as much as I love Kingdom, I'll tell you a show not to watch. My wife and I were looking for something, I think it was late last week or over the weekend, and we always look in the top 10 for Netflix. Mm-hmm. There's a movie called The Vanished that we watched. Thomas Jane, who I like, he played the Punisher, and he was in an HBO series, I think.
Hung.
Hung. He was great in that. And then Anne Heche is in it too. Not a bad, horrible, horrible movie.
Okay, terrible. We'll watch that.
Tried to be an M. Night Shyamalan movie and just failed miserably.
Oh, that's that one.
Okay. It was bad. It was bad. Right.
So you gave me a lot there. You gave me a lot there. So
no, I'm sorry.
The Kingdom, you recommended that to me. I saw like the trailer. It does look great. That guy, Frank Grillo, was on this Billions, the Showtime show Billions.
You know what? Yeah, you know, and we watched like three or four episodes and we just fell off on that. And I'm sorry that we did, because I understand that's a fantastic show.
He comes on last season and he's a new character who's an artist.
Okay.
I'm like, who is this guy? I've never seen this actor before. And that he must have been, he's been doing the show Kingdom for a few years that you've been talking about. And that makes sense. Okay, I get it.
I didn't know who Frank Grillo was either. I looked him up and apparently he's been in Captain America, Billions, you mentioned. He's been in some other things. I guess he's never really had a leading role. Or at least one that of entertainment that I've watched.
Now, you mentioned a show called The Last Kingdom.
Last Kingdom, yes.
Yeah, tell me about that one. Because you know that's my favorite show. I told you last week or a week ago, you have to start watching the show The Last Kingdom. With Uhtred,
that wasn't,
the Vikings.
Was that you?
Yes. I think this is one of the greatest shows ever.
Well, we're only two episodes in. It's the Saxons and the Danes and
oh man, it's so good.
All that stuff, and you know, so
it's all right. So good.
Dixon, so you've seen it. All right,
I've watched the entire thing three or four times.
No, really,
it's so good. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, well, now I'm looking forward to continuing it with Erica.
The second episode of the first season is really important for the.
I watched that. We just watched that last night.
It's really important for the rest of the show.
The
storylines, right. The characters.
I paid pretty good attention.
Yeah, good. I need to watch Succession.
Succession's awesome, man. Yeah. It's awesome.
I need to watch that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't recommend The Last Kingdom high enough.
Okay, good.
Cobra Kai, also watching that. Mm. Do you get Apple TV? Ted Lasso?
I've heard, coworkers of mine told me Ted Lasso is outstanding.
He's like an American football coach that gets hired to coach a British Premier League team. And it's good. That's all I can explain. Jason Sudeikis is the main character, and
he's great.
He's great.
I'm with you 100%.
All right, so let's just refresh our list. You have Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
Cobra Kai, The Last Kingdom. Again, these are all new shows. Like we're not talking Ozark's a great show. But they had recent seasons, and Succession are sort of your top ones.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if you're into British history and all that, or you know, I guess according to the royal family, that history is
the crown.
But the crown.
The crown. Yeah. And to recap my list, I agree with Cobra Kai. I agree with The Last Kingdom, but I give it even a higher top rating. Like if you like Game of Thrones, or you like the show Vikings, or Outlander. You know, three shows that I watch, you'll absolutely love The Last Kingdom. It's a combination of all of them, but it's even better. And then I also throw in Ted Lasso. That's my other recommendation, is go watch Ted Lasso. It's just a lighthearted, good show. Funny. All right. This has been a long one, Dix.
Yes,
it has. We'd like to thank our guest, Coach Bill Tierney, the GOAT. Best of luck to him and his Pios this season. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app and leave us a review, please. And tell a friend, share the love. Now more than ever, it's important to come together. Whether you're a Duke fan, Tar Heels fan, whether you cheer for the Terps or you support the Blue Jays. We need unity, people. So tell a friend, share the gift of Deep Flying Dixie. Also, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a shout on Twitter. He's at Dixon Lacrosse, and I'm simply at DFly, DFLY. As always, enjoy the games while you still can.